Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. You probably already knew all that. What you don't know is I still have my cold. All right, so I'm going to sound a little nasally probably for the next 13 years until this thing leaves, but it is a head cold. I do live in Maine, so I'm allowed to have a head cold. Okay, we have a lovely show for you today. We're going to go all the way down to Alabama. Okay, we're going to talk to their state superintendent of schools, Dr. Eric G. Mackey, and it's going to be just a pleasure to have him on, talk about all the good things that are going on down there in education in the great state of Alabama. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to archive this show over at we archive everything now over at our Equity website, okay, which is the home of our American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ACE-ed.org, ACE-ed.org. That, of course, is open to all educators, pre-K-12, including you, Dr. Mackey. We'd love to have you join. Okay, our consortium is trying to create a place where equity creates solutions so that things are equitable. Okay, we're trying to get the industry and all the educators working together to make things happen, and it's all free. So please go over there, ace-ed.org, join in the fun. You'll see our magazine over there, which is really absolutely excellent. I have to say that myself, which is called Equity and Access. It's an online journal. We get rave reviews about it. So please go over there. You don't have to join. You can go over there, just look at the magazine. You'll flip through online. You'll love it, but it's over at ace-ed.org. And my point is, we have combined, as it always has been, okay, Education Talk Radio and ace-ed.org. So we now have an icon over at ace-ed.org. If you click on that, you'll see all the shows we're doing here over at Education Talk Radio. And obviously, they'll take you right to where everything's archived, etc. All right, enough of me blabbing. Okay, let's bring on Dr. Mackey. Good morning, Dr. Mackey. Would you prefer I call you Eric or Dr. Mackey?
You can call me whichever you prefer. It's good to be on with you this morning.
Thank you. My name's Larry, and you can call me Larry. I'm going to call you Eric, and it's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks, and I know you have a busy schedule today.
That sounds great, Larry.
Yeah, and I really appreciate it. How long have you been state superintendent?
A little over 2.5 years, but the last 6 months feels like 6 years in and of its own right.
Congratulations on having the roughest job right now. You know, it's brutal out there, isn't it? I got to tell you, it really is. How you doing with the COVID stuff down there?
You know, we're actually doing okay. Of course, being in the heart of the Deep South, we typically start schools back here around August the 10th. Most of our schools delayed this year some, so they started after August 20th. Some of them started in September, the day after Labor Day was the last school that started. So that's to say most of our schools have been in now for about 6 weeks. We've found that it's going okay. We still have about 50% of our students, though, doing virtual or remote-only learning, and then about 50% are in the classroom.
And let me ask you this, because Alabama, like my state, Maine, can get rural. How are we doing with online? Does everybody have access? What's going on with that?
Well, it's tough. You know, everybody does not have it every day. Everybody has access somewhere, so we've done some things like putting mobile Wi-Fi spots on school buses. We had already done a process last year to make all the public libraries in the state mobile. Even, you know, if they're in a town of 500 people, they've got mobile access, free Wi-Fi sitting in the parking lot. So we have these places where students can go and get online, no question about it. But as far as internet in the home, that's something we're still struggling with. We did roll out a voucher program thanks to our governor, who used $100 million of her coronavirus relief fund to set up some vouchers so they can buy, students' families can buy private internet through December.
Good, and
we're rolling that out now.
Good. It is tough. And again, in the rural states, which Alabama is, I realize there are quite cosmopolitan areas, but a lot of it is rural. And, you know, I just wish you the best with all this, because it is tough, and it's tough to do, and you're suffering and getting all the positive wins like everybody else is. I wanted to ask you one particular question, but then I ran into something, and Eric, you're going to have to answer this. I Googled your name just to read a little bit more about you, okay, and find out what you look like. I always like to do that, okay? And the oddest thing came up, and you're going to be able to explain this to me, and it was a website called Alabama Germany. And I think, are you guys working with Germany? What is that?
Absolutely. So I'm on the board of directors for the Alabama-Germany Partnership. And we're actually, believe it or not, because of Mercedes. So Mercedes' first American plant is located here. It's one of their largest plants in the world now. And we have Mercedes. And we have two or three other big German companies now. So I think...
Wow.
We have one of the largest investments of by German firms of any state in the United States. So we have this partnership called the Alabama-Germany Partnership. And actually, since you ask, the last public appearance that I went to was right before everything shut down for COVID. We had our annual celebration and we're supposed to be going to Germany for a week of meeting with German businesses the first week of June, but as you can imagine, that's all been scuttled. Big, it's actually a big partnership between Alabama business and German business.
I'll be darned. That really just struck me as something so interesting when it literally popped up on top. By the way, you're a very good looking man. You look just like Brad Pitt. What can I tell you?
Oh, I'm gonna go back and record.
Take that
this
one home.
And make my
save
wife
the recording.
Listen to the podcast.
Save the recording. It's unbelievable. I want to ask you something else, and this is a question I don't want to avoid, because every time I talk to an educator in Alabama, and I have done that many times, okay, they are, like you, concerned, great people who are really doing their very best and working so hard. Everybody I know in Alabama is a fairly intelligent person. I have to ask you this. The state's always number 48, 49, or 50. You guys must be getting sick of that, okay? What do you think is holding Alabama and the other states around you back? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the compliment. We do have, and I appreciate you recognize
it.
That. Seriously, look.
It's sincere.
Yeah, because we do have a lot of very concerned, hardworking educators.
You do.
But we deal with the lasting impacts of generational poverty. Especially in the poorest part of the state. So Montgomery sits right in the heart of what we call the Black Belt. That was the original settled part of Alabama because of this rich, deep black soil, which brought all the cotton planters in and made them multimillionaires of their day. But that obviously there was importation of slavery at the time.
Right.
The system was very much you were either and even not just for slaves, which of course was a terrible and tragic part of our history, but everybody else, you were either very, very wealthy and owned a lot of land, or you didn't have anything. And so we, you know, 150 years later, continue to live with that that impact of poor health care. So I'll tell you this, it's interesting. You can look at a map of Alabama, and you can overlay a map of infant mortality, a map of the COVID rates, and a map of heart disease. And you can't tell the difference in the three because they – So it's health care. It's really people who have unhealthy lifestyles, who've not valued education generationally, and so it deals with that poverty. And that's what we have to continue to dig at the root of, because – until you get to that, and that's why I've been talking so much in the last 2.5 years and all my career about – schools cannot do it all. We've got to have better health care. We have to have family engagement. We have to have classes for families. We have to have pre-K, solid pre-K learning, because children can't just start when they're 5 years old all of a sudden and magically everything else in their life
that's
is
right.
correct. So that's what we're working on now.
And I know you are. I know you are. And I must ask this, and again, does your legislature, after all these years, understand what's going on? Are they allocating you guys enough funds?
Yeah, they do really well with
education. Not this who's ever in the term
now.
I don't mean now. Over the long term, you'd think they'd be sick of it already. They'd be sick of it.
Systematically. So part of I have to say we have some great legislators, been very supportive, good to work with.
Of course you do.
But systematically, and I've been in this now for 30 years, we've attacked it at the education level. So everything, both the blame and the credit, have gone to K-12 education. And again, I get to, you cannot solve these kinds of problems just in the school day, just with teachers, just starting at age five. So some of the things that we're starting to invest in now, this year for the first time, we'd started this actually pre-COVID, but the legislature finished it up for us. We invested and hired for 105, we have 142 school districts, so 105 of them will be getting a full-time mental health coordinator for the first time ever.
Wow, that's huge.
A person who's, most of them will have a mental health counseling or social work background, and next year we plan to add the others, so all 142 will have at least a coordinator. So those are the kinds of things that we've not invested in that we have to do. If we're going to get the education piece right, we've got to get the social work, the mental health piece, the health care around it right.
Agreed. That is wonderful. That is spectacular. Okay, I got to tell you, because everybody's so concerned about social-emotional learning, which creates mental health challenges, et cetera. That is wonderful that you're doing that. Congratulations. And I don't want to harp on the negative, because I know you guys are doing great stuff down there. Okay, so let's talk about, and I'm just curious about that, because you get sick of saying, it's like the people in Detroit watching the Lions, they get sick of watching the Blues. Or if I may, the people in Atlanta, close to you, they're getting sick of watching them lose. You know, you want everybody to do better. That was my point of all that. So let's have a winning team. And Eric, before we go any further, I have to ask the ultimate Alabama question, then we can move on. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Auburn or Alabama?
Roll Tide, roll. An Alabama man.
Okay. Half the state now loves you. They adore you. Yeah. The other half, I'm a little concerned about. Okay. So there we go.
Yeah,
okay.
We live that.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do. Okay. It's funny. And okay, you're an Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide. What can I tell you?
Yeah, I'm a Crimson Tide guy. So I have to support where my money goes. My wife and I are both Alabama grads.
There you go. Are the kids go to Bama?
No. My kids have all gone other places. So good for them.
Good for them. Okay. Very good. Not that Alabama's a bad place. That's a pretty damn good school. Okay, let's talk about these high points that are going on right now, and you just explained one of them, okay? And again, it's these difficult times right now with COVID. What's been your best success and your brightest points? We got the mental health. What else are you seeing, Dr. Mackey?
Yeah, so the biggest wins, so, you know, these things you have to kind of look at the pros and cons at the same time. So let me say this first. Our biggest challenge is, for the students who are in the classroom, the biggest challenge is having to constantly stay on top of contact tracing. And so what we've done here, any student who has symptoms, they go get tested. If they test positive, then we go back and do contact tracing. Our positive test rates in schools for students and faculty and staff are under 1%, so
Great.
We're doing a pretty good job of mitigating the spread. But for every one child that tests positive, we're sending somewhere between 4 and 10 others home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the part that's been the most difficult. I go from that then to what's really working. When they are in school, it actually has gone very well. Our teachers have adjusted. They're doing a bang up job of in the trenches, teaching students in difficult circumstances. Our students are wearing their masks. We've had no problem with students obeying the rules, wearing their masks, staying socially distant as best they can. The problem, of course, is when students are in the classroom, it's hard sometimes to spread them apart. So we have a lot of schools that are doing an A-B hybrid schedule. So half the students are here on Monday and half on Tuesday. And they can keep students separated. But in some communities, parents have demanded that all students be back every day. And those local school boards have acquiesced, and they're bringing everybody back. The problem is then when you do have a positive, instead of maybe one child or two children going home, you send home 8 or 10 because you cannot, when everybody's back in school, we just cannot get the social distance. There's just no physical way to do it. So that's been our real struggle. But if there are any heroes, and there are heroes in this thing, I would have to brag on teachers and nurses. Yeah. I mean, my gosh, our teachers and nurses are going to carry us through this thing.
They really are. They are right now the first responders of education, and we all do appreciate them, and that's right across the board. I can say, although we're talking to Alabama, that goes right across the whole country. It's just astounding what's going on. Prior to COVID, okay, and I know these are crazy times, okay, and this will all, I hope, settle down. We'll learn our lessons, okay, and we'll apply what we learn now to the future. Not that we won't get fooled again, as the old song goes. But prior to COVID, okay, what were the top priorities in Alabama education prior to COVID? Because some of those must be carrying over and working right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are really three things that we have struggled with and we're working deeply on. One is early literacy. We passed our legislature. We worked with the legislature my first year in, just months in, and developed a new literacy act that has pumped millions of dollars into early childhood literacy. So we now have a highly trained reading specialist in each of our 55 lowest performing schools in the state. That's at state expense, just to go in and help that principal and the faculty, not to do the teaching for them, but to do professional development and to help them make a plan for improving literacy in that school. So we're doing that, surrounded also by before and after school tutoring, extra summer school help for students who are behind, and that's all focused on kindergarten through third grade literacy. Second thing is math. Again, you mentioned it, and we struggle with it. Alabama has never been out of the bottom tier on NAEP in math. And we're at the same point. We're as many points behind the national average in the most recent administration, 2019, that we were in 1991, 92, 93. So you think about that many years. We're still as far behind the national average as we were then. So we're not losing ground so much, but we're not gaining ground.
So we're
reinvesting in mathematics, early mathematics.
I'm terrible. Wait a minute. I have to say, I am terrible in math. I'll be the first one to admit that. I don't even want to tell you. All I can tell you is you got 200 for writing your name on the SATs, and I think my SAT score in math was a 202. Okay? And I think I spelled my name correctly. All right, and I'm terrible at it, so believe me, I feel their pain. But what in heck is causing that? That's interesting. You brought that up, math.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're just holding our own. We're staying about where we've always been. And mathematics is interesting in this state because we're a huge manufacturing state. We talked about early on the car manufacturing.
Yeah.
We we're the second. I think we're number two in the nation. As far as car manufacturing jobs, and then we've got the big space industry up in Huntsville where we're building literally the Artemis project's going to take man back to Mars and or back to the moon and then to Mars.
That's a lot
of engineering, but you know, overall, we do produce some very smart mathematicians and engineers.
Absolutely,
but as far as the general public, our math scores stay way below where they should be, and so we're focusing on, you can't pick out the two kids in the room. So this is the key in where we've been and where we're going. You can't pick out the two kids in the room who are really good mathematicians and push them to be engineers and then let everybody else just kind of linger. You have to make sure everybody in the room has a pretty strong understanding of mathematics with a goal of getting everybody successfully through Algebra 1 by the end of ninth grade. And that's kind of our target, if you will. Everybody successfully through Algebra 1 by the end of ninth grade.
Can I give you a hint of something I know about? Can I give you a hint of something I know about that really works? There's a company out there. Just look this up. It's called Museology, Muzology. And they have a curriculum that teaches mathematics through music. Okay? And
really?
Kids love music. They love it. And mathematics, and music is mathematics. Okay?
Yeah,
and
it
this
is.
Works great. So I'm just telling you because I know these folks. They're lovely people. I think they're based near Nashville. Okay? Just half a state away from you. Okay? Right on
it
the,
sure is. I'm going to check
sure
that
is.
Out today.
Muzologi. It won't hurt to check it out. And I'm telling you, they have just impressed me. And I recognize this music mathematics thing. Again, I'm terrible in math. Okay? When I was in New Orleans and watching kids who I know are having trouble in math march in these incredible bands at Mardi Gras, and I'm thinking, why aren't they love music? Why aren't they mixing the two? And finally, this company has done that, and they do a great job. So it's Muzologi, and I'm not doing a plug. It's not a commercial, everybody. I just know about them, and you should know about it, Eric.
You got to know about things, and I'm going to check it out today because there is a strong correlation between music and mathematics. I was my original first career in education, I was a high school physics teacher. And, people think that physics and music from the outside would have nothing related. But, of course, they're very closely related. I mean, that's what sound waves are. They can all be described by physics. And not myself now. I don't have any musical talent. But a lot of the great mathematicians and physics scientists of history have been also great musicians.
Absolutely.
There's actually a strong correlation between the two. So, yeah, I'm going to check it out, Muzologi.
Check it out. Yeah, Muzologi. And I it's worth checking. I'm telling you, it's just really, really cool stuff, and it's a great idea. So we've got reading covered. I'm glad you guys are doing that. At least you're trying in your lowest performing schools. Okay, you've got mathematics situations, and again, it's odd because of Huntsville. You'd think that would spread through the whole state. Huntsville's so important to you folks, and I'll tell you, it's hard to build a Mercedes without understanding mathematics. Okay, to work in a factory like that, I mean, seriously, these things are like spacecraft. Okay, a Mercedes. Okay, in fact, they probably have more technology built than the whole Apollo program. Okay, so really, that's an interesting conundrum you've got there. Okay, I think you can work that out.
We're trying to get through it. We're going to get through it. And then our other big project we're working on is geared toward high school students, and that is getting everybody ready for a career. So
we have
strong career tech programs here, and we have college going rates too are getting better, but we have so many manufacturing jobs. So there's so many good jobs students can do with, they can straight out of high school, but certainly with a 2-year degree. So we have a pretty hyper-focused on getting students credentials in whatever they might need. And so auto manufacturing is one of those things. There's a big, big job shortage. People shortage, I guess. I mean, I can, if you're a hard worker and can do some basic math, and want to get a job in the auto manufacturing industry, that there are jobs available today in Alabama, thousands of jobs. So, we just have to help students understand that there is nothing wrong with a hands-on job. And unfortunately,
absolutely,
for years, we focused on everybody has to go to college. Everybody has to go to college, and college is great. I went to college myself. But there are some really good hands-on jobs you can do with just a 2-year degree.
Without question, I always argue that phrase college and career ready. I never liked that phrase. I think you should just drop the college part and just call it career ready. Okay? Because if you're going to be a brain surgeon, obviously you're going to go to college. Okay, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with working at a Mercedes plant or a Subaru plant or wherever you might be working or any other industry. Okay, and those are high tech, and those, by the way, I might add, are STEM jobs in many, many cases. Okay, you have to know something. You take your car to to the mechanic. They have to understand science, technology, engineering, math, just to read the prints that come up with their computer to fix something these days. Okay? So my point is, it's great. That's what you want to do. And if those are the opportunities that exist for good-paying jobs and lifetime secure, I think it's wonderful. Okay? Career ready. That's what we're trying to do here. All right? It's just – are we agreed?
We are absolutely in agreement on that. I mean, that's – and I'm making notes. I like the idea of dropping college It really is, you know, it's a real conundrum to say college or career, because people assume that you have to do one or the other. We have students who go through our career tech programs, hands-on design things, and then they decide, hey, I really like this, but I want to go to college. And then we have students who go through the whole kind of college prep stuff, and they get to the end, and I've seen students do this, and they decide, I really like working with my hands. I want to go study HVAC and own my own HVAC company. I mean, there are definitely real success stories for students who mix traditional hands-on career and college-based careers. So I just think we got to give students every opportunity. Our motto here is every child, every chance, every day. So you give every child the skills and background they need so that they have a chance to choose their own path in life.
Yeah, it's just so important. We are so agreed on this stuff. It's just really something. I have to ask, okay, and this is something I've been talking about with a number of people, the COVID thing that we're going through now. We talked about some kids don't have access to internet at home, et cetera. The COVID thing, bad as it is, and it is a horror show, okay, it has peeled away layers of the onion. Okay, and my standing joke is that we kick the can down the road far enough, and we find that at the end of the road there's a cliff. Okay, and we got to stop kicking the can down the road. All right. So, what are the lessons, the education lessons, not the public health? Well, maybe public health too. The education lessons that we can learn from COVID. That I'll ask an Alabama can learn from, because you are Alabama. You are Alabama, Eric. Congratulations. You speak for the state. Congratulations.
So I think one of the things we've learned from this that we are that we're going to take to the other side of COVID is that we have to have connectivity throughout the day, throughout the week, for every family, and that's a policy decision that we are wrapping our minds around in this state. And I know my colleagues across the country are doing that, but we have to have internet connectivity in every community for every family, so every child has the same opportunity. Now, with that, what I think we're going to see 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now is more internet-based support for learning. So, if I'm in one of these very rural areas, we may not be able to offer, you know, French classes in that area, but there are definitely ways to learn French online. I mean, we've all seen that. There are companies that have done a really good job of that. So if I go to a small rural high school and I want to study international business, and I want to study French, or I want to study Chinese, or I want to study Korean, whatever it is, why can I not do that? Why do I have to go to one of the three or four premier, you know, suburban high schools in the state to get those opportunities? And so I think that is the one thing that we will absolutely take on the other side of this.
That's
is
right.
That nothing's going to ever replace a teacher in a classroom. A high-quality teacher in a classroom with students is something every child needs, I believe. But there are so many opportunities that are available to us through internet. And it's just going to get better. The AI is going to get better.
Yep.
The instructional component is going to get better. So we have to offer that to everybody.
We do indeed. And I'm reminded with that of the old TVA. Back in the 1930s during the Depression, okay, they were concerned that not everybody had electricity, so they couldn't listen to the radio. They couldn't get access to news and information. And we created the TVA to make that have to electrify as much of the country as we possibly could. We need the same thing now with broadband. Same thing.
No question about it. Yep. And the heart of TVA is right here too. And so we've lived that experience. We've solved so many problems in this country. Access to electricity is a huge one. You mentioned that. Access to clean water. We're one of the few places in the world where you can go to any town and turn on the tap and drink the water without regret. I mean, so we've had these huge problems before in a very spread out country with a population that there are many parts of the country that there's big distances, you know, between people. Maine and Alabama, two of them.
Try Montana,
but
Wyoming.
We've solved these things. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You get out in the far west. Well, I mean, there are ways to solve this. We can solve the internet problem for everybody.
We really, really can. And one last thing before we go, and this is, I'd like to ask this question. Is there a teacher shortage? How are we doing on teachers?
Yeah, we've got a terrible teacher shortage here. And it's getting worse. We actually are now in really populated parts of the state. We are seeing teacher shortages, even
wow.
in elementary school this year.
Typically,
we've had plenty of elementary teachers. We have shortages in things like math and the hard sciences. But now our teacher shortage is getting more acute. And so if there are teachers out there who want to move to the sunny south, if you're in a cold climb, come to a place where it will be warm year-round. We can find you a teaching job. It really is. I say that tongue in cheek,
yeah.
but I'm serious about
yeah,
it too.
It's true.
We really are looking for people. You know, we're working on some things. Our state school board has been talking, and in our last meeting we talked about what are we going to do to make teaching more attractive through salary and benefits and classroom working conditions, professional development. I mean, what are the things we're going to have to do to attract young people and second career people.
That's right.
Important into teaching.
That's right. I'm just going to say, because after all, people retire from Huntsville. These are engineers. Let them learn how to teach and get a pedagogy going, and boom, they can really help you. Not that Huntsville is the only place in the state. I mean, it's just incredible. This has been delightful, Eric. I can't thank you enough. And good luck with everything down there. You guys are doing terrific.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it very much, Larry. Thank you for the invitation. Thanks for what you're doing to support education for everyone. And it's important. It's the work of our lifetime, and we're going to together get through this. And on the other side, we're going to have learned a lot of lessons about how we can better serve children.
Hear, hear. Here's a little round of applause from yours truly. You have a great day today, and I can't thank you enough. Thanks, Eric.
Take care.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye. And I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that it was my good friends over at the Council of Chief State School Officers who helped me put this together. So thank you, Carolyn, and thank you, Olympia, for doing that and bringing Eric to introducing us to Eric so we could talk to him. He's really a great guy. The Alabama is one lucky place, great state superintendent, and I hope all those things he's talking about filter right down into the whole state and take advantage of everything they've got going there, for goodness sakes. All right, we're going to archive the show at education. Well, I keep saying that. You can go to education-talkradio.org. I'm used to that. But please go to ace-ed.org, our equity website, where you'll see a big icon for Education Talk Radio. We're the same company, so we wanted to make sure that they were together very well. I forgot to mention we do tweet over at EduTalk Radio. We link in at my name, Larry Jacobs. So Facebook is my name, Larry Jacobs, or Education Talk Radio. Okay, thanks so much for listening. Again, ace-ed.org, the place for equity. My name is Larry Jacobs. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, CCSSL.